Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I don't know if he was in the middle of doing karaoke or if he was in the middle of doing his Michael Jackson moonwalk on the top of the bar, but they must have pulled Flint Rasmussen out of the crystal in downtown Billings finally earlier this morning. I was chatting with our Billings listeners earlier this morning. I said, hey guys, apparently Flint Rasmussen is in Billings. He's here for the big PBR kicking off later today. I said, we got to get the real Flint in studio. I said, somebody go over to the crystal and pull him out of the bar and tell him to come join us in studio. And boy, here he is already. I thought he was going to be a little bit later, but Flint Rasmussen, the one and only, the real Flint in the house. Good to see you, my friend. Holy cow, I got to shake your
good
hand.
Good to see you.
My goodness,
good
how you been?
You. Am I good? You got me?
I think you're good, yeah.
I kind of rushed in here.
Yeah, that's all right.
I actually did go to the crystal.
You did go to the crystal. That's funny.
Our crew said, let's go. And I said, I've never been to the crystal. They said, you lived in Billings. I never came downtown.
You never got to see the karaoke at the Crystal. It's an experience.
It was a Thursday night special. Yeah. I'll tell you. Yeah. Good to see you.
Good to see
Sorry,
you, too.
Sorry, I'm kind of rushing around. And
no, you're good.
Things going on, yeah. It's
yeah,
good to
I
be
was,
here.
You know, it's funny. I was chatting with Becky Hillier earlier today, and mm-hmm. And we got to talking about my bad dance moves and her husband's good dance moves, because he danced with the cheerleaders when he was the school resource officer at senior high school. And so, and then I was like, hey, by the way, have you ever heard Flint Rasmussen's How He Became a Good Dancer story? So I shared the KSEN radio polka story that you shared with us.
Oh, my. They still, KSEN still play at 5 minutes to 8.
Still do. Yep.
Every morning. Oh, and my parents would polka in the kitchen. Not so much now, but my parents are good. They're both still kicking around. So.
Yeah. Did you moonwalk on the bar at the Crystal?
I did not. I was pretty incognito down there. So,
well, you're pretty incognito all the time now, because now you're this professional commentator and anchor man of rodeo now. So you know, you put the makeup aside and
absolutely even more than that, I do a little TV still, but in our home office, we've moved our headquarters to Fort Worth, Texas, so I live in Texas.
I know.
Not a Texan, just a Montanan that lives in Texas. So I go to work every day down in the historic stockyards. There's worse places to go to
work. Fort Worth is a cool town. I got to visit there a couple of times, and down there by the stockyards, and there's that really cool Mexican restaurant right down there, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They have, that stockyards... They let it go for a lot of years, and they have different phases now of pumping tens of millions of dollars into it, and it is a cool place. So,
So cool to see Flint Rasmussen in the house. Can you stick around for a few minutes this
absolutely.
Morning?
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. We'll get to your phone calls later in the show, unless you want to mix it up with the real Flint while he's here, 406-294-0970. Or if you have embarrassing stories about Flint, you can message us on the Montana Talks app, and we'll compile those for the website for later.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so great to have Flint Rasmussen in the house here. I was just telling somebody the other day, we were at the cigar lounge hanging out, and I was telling him, I said, we actually had Flint Rasmussen in here. Mm-hmm. And we did the show, and a couple of shows. We had Dave Allen in there, who's now running the Nile here, and Flint was like, I don't even smoke cigars, but this is just cool.
I remember that now that you bring it up. I talked to David this morning. Actually, Dave was, I talked to him. He was at the American Association of Rodeo Committees big get together in Fort Worth this past week, so I saw him down there. So yeah.
Well, you were talking about the stockyards down in Fort Worth and how mm-hmm. they kind of let them go over the years. Well, Yellowstone County and the Billings area, they're rebuilding now, and so they're going to be ready to roll for outdoor rodeo for the mm-hmm. first time in a long time, thanks to David Allen and the rest of the crew. So
yeah, I think we were getting a lot of Western events in the. Do we still call it the Metro? Is
yes.
that okay?
Yeah.
And you know, during the fair, the rodeo wasn't doing very well, and then during the Nile in October, you know what happened to that rodeo was the PRCA's season used to go until the 1st of November. So the Nile was such a great rodeo because guys were trying to make it to the NFR. So they'd hit. It was a good money rodeo.
One more shot.
Yeah. Well, now the season ends the last day of September. So the Nile in October falls into the next year. So those people that may have qualified for the NFR or home taking a breath, who's going to enter, who is so contestant wise, it did that to it. And, October's tough, so now they're going to combine them. I think it's a great move. Outdoor rodeo, August in Montana, under the lights. And
David Allen knows how to put on a show. I mean, man.
Yeah, and David Allen knows how this may come out wrong. David Allen knows how the rest of the country does great outdoor rodeos with suites along the arena, great seating. I can't remember what he told me, 4,000 or something seats. It's a perfect size arena. Listen, I went to a lot of rodeos in my day, and those big, good outdoor rodeos can't beat them. So I think it's a great, really great move.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I could tell because yesterday, you know, I'm getting done with the show, and I was heading over to the RV and boat show, and so I wasn't tracking. You know, I'd forgot that the PBR started today, but just walking around the DoubleTree Hotel, I was like, wait, something's going on. There's a new crowd here, and I walked around out back. I could have sworn I saw Billy Bob Thornton out there smoking a cigarette. Yeah, I got to drive back to Midland. You know,
yeah.
I thought it was like an episode of Landman. I was like, oh, the PBR's in town. That's right. Yeah, a lot of cool people running around. That, you know?
That's a good topic that who you're seeing here, though, is that our crew, I don't know if people understand, we're more like a concert tour. So the guys have it pretty easy as far as our tour these few weeks. We're in Sioux Falls last weekend. We're Billings this weekend, Nampa, Idaho the next weekend, and then Tacoma the next weekend. So that's easy on our guys because there's a lot of time. Listen, we have about 9 semi-trucks. Those red ones are parked right. I saw them yesterday. And this is our, when you go to a PBR, every bit of steel, every chute, the lighting rigs, the sound, everything is ours. The only thing local is the dirt. And we bring the guys to put the dirt in. So our crew, when the PBR comes to town early in the week, you're probably not seeing bull riders. You're seeing our guys that do this every single day.
We did just have a bull rider down the hall. I know as you were walking in, you might have passed him in the hallways.
So, yeah. I know, speaking of really great bull riding, which you'll see, we have a great world title race. As good a bunch of young bull riders as I've ever seen in all my years. And one of the guys doing PR this week and doing interviews is a kid named Clay Guyton, from little redheaded kid from North Carolina, 19 years old, won last week, went 4 for 4 last week in Sioux Falls, number 10 in the world. And we got a whole passel of kids like that, and it's good bull riding.
It's always a good show. You know, everybody's seen the show either on TV or in the arena itself, and it's like you say, it's a rock concert, it's a rap concert, it's rodeo, it's Western all in one. Mm-hmm. But I got to be right down in the dirt for your last dance, that's what I'm going to call it. When the last time you were in the dirt as the entertainer, as the rodeo clown here in Billings for the PBR, which was just incredible. I was right next to the dirt, but then I walked around out back where all the stock trailers were at.
Yeah,
and seeing the guys that drive the stock all over the mm-hmm. country, that was really cool. Seeing the semi truck drivers and seeing the livestock in the back, not just in the arena in the dirt.
It's amazing how much goes into all that. We have an arena crew and a production crew. Arena crew handles all the bulls. The bulls are all independently contracted, so they come in separate. Those 9 trucks we have, that's not counting bulls. So they have a diagram of which bulls go with who and what order they buck. I don't know how they do it.
The Bulls probably come in like their own Pope Mobile because the Bulls are that important.
A little, right? Actually, some of those trailers are cool. You see them, and they'll load them, and they have their own. They stand in their own single little stall like a high-powered horse does. Yeah.
Do you wish you were performing on the dirt this weekend, or are you enjoying being able to kick back and kind of watch and commentate and things like that?
I haven't craved it. Like, I don't sit there and go, oh, dang it. Oh, I want to be out there. I miss being that guy, holding all those people right in the palm of my hand. I miss that feeling. And that's people like me, and my brother Will would say the same thing. The reason we do it is because it's in us that we crave that, you know. Last week in Sioux Falls, I craved it a little because, like, Sioux Falls and Billings, Nampa, Idaho, it's kind of more our kind of people. We're no longer in New York City, Chicago, although so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
But my heart says go, my knees say no.
Yeah, but my lower back's with you there. Hey, I do have some Power Plus Pain Aid here if you need some.
That's great.
Some energy. Actually, I should throw one of these to you, a little Power Plus Pain Aid. It's all natural. You get the energy, but you get the vitamins that help with some of the aches and pains as well. Hold that thought.
Securing America.
Three Army soldiers who were discharged from the service for refusing to get the COVID vaccine during the pandemic have now returned to active duty. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reacted on Fox's The Will Cain Show.
All the letters are out to the folks who were pushed out, and we welcome them back as quickly and robustly as possible.
The Army says over 100 more have applied for reinstatement. The Marines say 129 have started the reinstatement process.
We will apologize to you. We will recognize the wrong that's been done. We will welcome you back with rank and back pay, and we want your service.
The Secretary adding that the return of these service members can only make the U.S. force stronger.
These are some of our best and brightest. We were kicking out folks with 17 years in, 18 years in, 19 years in.
Over 8,000 service members in all were discharged during the pandemic for refusing to get vaccinated. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, if you want to call in and jump in on the conversation here with the one and only Flint Rasmussen in studio, in town for the PBR, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970. Our producer may have popped out of his studio briefly there for a couple of minutes, so if you tried to call before, call back right now because we'd love to bring you in on the conversation here as well. Yeah, I was telling Flint during the break here, Power Plus Pain Aid increases energy. So, you know, we're Montanans. We all work hard and we play hard. And we've all, you know, he mentioned his knees. You know, I've got the back and the neck thing going. This gives you the energy. It looks like one of those small energy bottles that you would get at a gas station, except for without all the chemicals. But then it's got vitamins in there, vitamin B6, B12. It's got niacin. It's got turmeric, things like that. And so, yeah, check it out. And by the way, if you go right now, you can get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. And if you use the code FLINT15, that's how you get the 15% off. So, Flint, even you can use.
Yeah, look at you. You're using my name to get a discount.
That's right. They should put your face on the side of that one there. That'd be painful, wouldn't it?
That's not a bad idea. You said Big Fork?
He's a Marine Corps veteran, Big Fork, Montana. I met him at Trump's inauguration, and great guy.
Maybe it's made from water from the Flathead Lake.
Ooh, who knows? Yeah. Hey, there we go. There we go. Yeah. That in itself is some healing water right there.
Right.
So this is kind of funny. So right before you came here, you popped over across town at one of the other radio stations. And I love these guys. I mean, their politics are a lot different than mine. But they're good dudes. But you got to see McLovin is his nickname.
Yeah.
His folks are probably listening right now up in Vida and in Wolf Point, by the way.
Oh, so, he's a Vida guy.
I don't know. Did he grow up there or did his parents move back there? I can't remember.
But
his folks live in, you know, they're listening to KVCK and great people. Their politics are more like mine than his. So yeah. We'll have you know.
But, those are good guys. I always, you know what's funny is I can tell you this. So the PBR has a PR department, marketing department, and they work in tandem to, they'll bring in writers early in the week. All media requests, they like to go through the PBR so they can monitor and record the exposure they get, you know, all that stuff. So everything goes through the PBR. And even when I lived here, they'd say, Flint, we want you to go here, here, here. They go do two or three. And then pretty soon, just like you this morning, hey, come up and be on the radio. Last night, I ran into McLovin last night. Hey, come be on our show.
Was he at the Crystal with you?
We had a remote... We had a remote appearance out at the Den on the West End.
Oh, that's a great spot.
And
yeah,
so
he
did some hits and come in. So I get the everybody like you and those guys, they have my number. So it doesn't go through PBR. So I'm out here. I'm going rogue.
Stinking PR people.
Yeah.
We're just going straight to Flint.
Yeah.
So I need your help with this. So, you know, the Navy, the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels, they came to Billings for the 2023 air show. They're coming back next year.
Nice.
And so I want to do this promotional video for the 2026 air show. And so... So, you know, both McLovin and I, we were the two media people that got to fly backseat in the F-18 with the Blue Angels. And so, and you know, we're two kind of different guys, right? You know, and so, for anybody who's seen McLovin, you know, I'm into Billings Last Diet. He is not into Billings Last Diet. He loves pizza. I want to have the two of us recreate the scene from the aircraft carrier in Top Gun.
Oh, you know,
where you know, one of us is Maverick and one of us is Goose. And us two jokers are being called back to the Yellowstone International Air Show for 2026.
I like you.
And we're both standing at attention. And, you know.
I like you. I like the idea. I didn't know he did. Well, maybe I did. I guess I forgot that he did that, too. Yeah.
So we both yacked at some point.
Yeah.
He yacked a little earlier on. My bag of yak was about this big. Wasn't too bad. That was about 35 minutes into the, 7.3 Gs. And where McLovin had a big bag of yak when he came off of there. But he said, you know, it was painful, but he said he wouldn't trade it in for anything.
I had an opportunity. I got acquainted years ago. Cheyenne Frontier Days and a couple other places with the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
And kind of had an offer to go up and fly with them. The problem was it would have been the morning. I was working. I had an afternoon performance, and they said, you're not going to feel very good. So, and I didn't want to not feel good. And now I don't know. Now I've had heart issues, so it does concern me a little.
I was worried about my lower back because I was like, "Oh man, I don't even like sitting in my studio chair typically." But it, you know, 35 minutes it was good, but it was just absolutely incredible. But yeah, I listened. By the way, speaking of the Thunderbirds, the astronaut who went up into space with SpaceX, you know, they trained in Bozeman for that mission. And he was on the Sean Ryan Show podcast, did like a 4-hour podcast, but he was a Thunderbird pilot before that.
Really?
And so I'm thinking this guy must have been the best of the best, you know, smartest guy in the world. He said on his podcast that he puked every time he got into that F-16 in his first couple of years almost practically. And so badly to where he would swallow his own puke so the instructors didn't know that he couldn't handle being in the pilot seat, right? Oh, could you imagine that?
My former brother-in-law, so my former wife's brother, who we all get along, he was an F-16 pilot, and used to tell he graduated from the academy and would tell stories of everything they had to go through for all of that, and it's a grind, man.
Yeah. That's why I was like, man, this was really cool to fly in this thing. But, man, how they do it is just beyond remarkable. Hey, well, we got a caller on the phone lines from the Gallatin Valley. Michael, what's going on? You're with Flint and the real Flint Rasmussen. What's going on?
Morning, guys. I got a real bad story to coming out of Los Angeles. One of the local elementary schools is bringing their kids to the MSU Spring Rodeo. and some parents are objecting because of the way the rodeo animals are treated. Well, as the former manager of Moconi Electric, I can tell you that those horses at J Bar J are most pampered horses that you ever could have out there. Mm. It's just sad that their philosophy is that the cruelty to animals when the rodeo animals are probably the best maintained animals in the world.
I think they probably take them like they have slack all morning this morning, so they probably take them out as part of school. And I do think, a very vocal few can gain a lot of attention. So that's going to get attention, and so many things. I guess we have to, you put yourself as a parent in that situation, and if it's your deep down, don't want. So here's an idea. Just pretend your kid's sick that day and don't speak up.
Keep your kid at home.
And I will say, I do. He called it Bozangeles. I know that's a going thing. I refuse to do that. I've been a lot of places, and people say, yeah, great thing about Bozeman is only a half hour from Montana. Hey, I said this in a graduation speech I gave up at Northern last year. Every place is Montana. Billings is Montana. Bozeman, we just have a lot of versions of Montana. And I always say, people say, yeah, but look at Bozeman has changed so much. You know what else? Shoto, Montana, my hometown, has about half the number of stores on Main Street it used to, and the enrollment at the high school is half what it used to be. Is it not Montana now? So is that our badge of honor, that we got to be going through hell to be Montanans? I mean, it is a little. So our town's got to be dying for us to be Montana.
I like how you like to poke the bear, too, sometimes, because I like how you one time when we had you on the show, you poked the bear because it was 40 below, I think. And somebody was like, yeah, this will finally get those out-of-staters out of here. And you're like, no, you know who leaves? The people who've had to put up with this crap year. You know?
I remember that conversation. The Montanans go to Arizona for the winter. It is, and like that guy said, it's a lot of people call it Bozangeles, but I'm a defender of my. I have two girls that are in their mid-20s now, and they have thrived in that community. There's things to do. There's great restaurants. There's activities. They have concerts. They have breweries. Do what you want, but I have two girls that they travel a lot anyway. They've been lucky with me. But they've thrived there. I love Main Street of Bozeman. I think it's the coolest street.
The patriotism in Bozeman remains strong to this day. I mean, Warrior Taste Fest, we're going to be there the day after the 9/11 anniversary. It's incredible, the patriotism that's there, newbies and old-timers alike. Speaking of Bozeman, speaking of rodeo, and we're going to get to your phone. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll open up the phone lines to everything you want to talk about.
I do want to clarify. I am going to confess.
Okay.
The Bozeman Airport. You can fly anywhere. It's a great airport. It annoys me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I had to get that off my chest. Yes, it's just so crowded all the time.
Really?
And it's like an L.L. Bean catalog. It is like, wow, nice fur vest.
If I see one more Patagonia, I'm gonna freak out.
Yeah.
I'm
like, where are you from? Here. Well, not Bozeman, but anyway, go ahead.
Every time when people are like, they'll say, well, where'd you grow up? Well, I said, well, I moved around a bunch, but mainly Glasgow. They think I say Alaska every time. Yeah. And it's like, well, practically for some people, but I saw the coolest photos, and I'm a UM guy. I went to the University of Montana, but your daughters did rodeo at MSU. The rodeo team went and rode their horses all around MSU's campus the other day, and people brought their kids out. I mean, it was like a parade. It's such a cool deal.
That's a traditional, a yearly thing. And what's funny, it's I can't remember what it has a name for it, but the team rides through campus. The part that kills me, I love the pictures of the rodeo team riding their horses by the big bobcat, and kids are walking to class, not even looking at them. Like, hey, how's it going? Like, it's not taking picture. Some of them do. But otherwise, I got my backpack. Hey, listen, I got to get to Kim 131 over here. That's the best part.
That's either the out-of-state hippie kids that don't care about rodeo, or it's the really smart engineering kids that are too focused on school. So, because I would have been like, man, cool, check this out,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's Glasgow. Everywhere I go now. Where are you from in Montana? What do you know in Montana? Bozeman, Whitefish, neither of those.
Yep. All right. Well, Flint Rasmussen, great to see you as always, my friend. Anytime you're in town, pop in, or we'll find somebody to go pull you out of the crystal.
PBR this weekend. Great show.
Come out and check it out starting today. All right. Great to see you. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Julie in the Flathead Valley, first up right after this.
This is where Montana talks at. With Lane Nordlund.
As U.S. farmers and ranchers monitor President Trump's trade agenda, many are relieved to see that U.S. ag products like beef, live cattle, wheat, barley, potatoes, and other U.S. ag commodities exported to Canada and Mexico will remain protected under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Now, these ag products continue to be exempt from tariffs, so long as they meet the agreement's rules of origin, providing some much-needed stability amid broader trade uncertainty. Cam Quarles is CEO of the National Potato Council.
We were very pleased that in the announcement that came out a week ago, all of the USMCA-compliant goods are going to maintain their current benefits. And so what does that mean? It means U.S. potatoes going to Canada or Mexico still going to remain at the zero duty rate. Their complementary products will retain that zero duty rate. And I think it, as well as processed products, I think that makes it unlikely that you're going to have retaliation in those areas between the three countries.
Again, that was Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Man, we've seen some high-profile arrests of illegal aliens and Tren de Aragua gang members here in Montana. But how many illegal aliens do they think are actually hiding out here in Montana? We got a number from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte because he's been working with federal law enforcement, talked about the incredible collaboration that's finally taken place. He says there's 1,000 illegal aliens, mostly in the Gallatin Valley. Full story, go to MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, man, I've been having so much fun talking to Flint Rasmussen here, I should probably pop in and see what we got going on here on the app. But, yeah, phone lines are open for you right now. Let's go first to Julie in the Flathead Valley. Julie, what's going on? Great to hear from you.
Good news. May 2nd, 2025 is this year's annual Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner. So we have Austin Knutson, who is going to be our main speaker. We have Tanner Smith emceeing, which will be entertaining. And it's going to be held in Kalispell at the Hilton Garden Inn. People can go to flatheadrepublicans.com to get tickets, but they're selling quickly. And, you know, we already have, I just got off the phone with Dan Wilson and Jim Brown, and, you know, we got some great people attending as well. So it's going to be a great gathering. So please get your tickets ASAP and come and hear from a great speaker and mingle with like-minded people.
Yeah, Attorney General Austin Knutson, the best attorney general in the country, if you ask me. And, of course, they've been waging lawfare against him just like they waged lawfare against Trump. And I think it's only making him even more powerful. What do you think?
I agree. And I think a lot of people want to hear from him directly of what he has to say. And the great thing about these fundraisers and these dinners is that you get to mingle and talk and approach and ask questions to the people that you want to. But I think a lot of people are excited that he and his family are coming.
Well, Julie, you know how to put on a great event. I've been to a couple of your Lincoln, Reagan, Trump events, and yeah, you know how to put on a show. So that's going to be a great one. Thanks so much for calling in. Great to hear from you.
I know.
All right. 406-294-0970, the number for you as well. Let's go to Mike in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Mike, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to alert your listeners to what's going on I'm not exactly sure when they're going to do it through the Senate, I believe. But this weather modification bill, it's very important that people understand there's a difference between geoengineering, cloud seeding, stratospheric aerosol injections. Cloud seeding is done when a smaller biplane, two-passenger plane that's usually state-funded, flies into an existing cloud, shoots flares off to make that cloud produce more moisture. It's not so detrimental. It might be a good thing. I mean, they are shooting silver iodide and sulfur dioxide out of them flares. It's usually done 5,000 feet and below. That's cloud seeding. The big white streaks you see in the skies and that fill our skies up almost on a daily basis, people think are exhaust trails or contrails. They're actually called stratospheric aerosol injections. It's federal-funded, CIA-funded, NASA-funded, military-industrial complex-funded program where they claim they're dimming the sun to keep us from global warming. When they're really doing is they're keeping us from having our vitamin D. They're spraying major amounts of heavy metals, nanoparticles in our skies from 37,000 feet all the way up to 75,000 feet. They're drying out our forests. They're killing our insects, our bees, our fish aren't eating properly. And then more importantly, we're breathing in all this nanoparticle and aluminum. And aluminum's not good for the human body. It tends to cause Alzheimer, dementia, and cancer, which is also right now at record skyrocketing rates right now. So it's imperative to know cloud seeding is not chemtrails.
So,
chemtrails are real.
So if this is happening, I would think if anybody would expose this, it would be Donald J. Trump. It would be RFK Jr., who is now the Secretary of Health and Human Services. It would be Elon Musk and Doge. If this were happening, I would assume that's the case. I did see a headline here, though. Let's see. This came from a letter here. I saw a headline somebody shared on the Montana Politics hashtag here today. Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines said, quote, "I believe there is no evidence to suggest nefarious activity with regard to these claims of chemtrails." Now, cloud seeding, on the other hand, I remember last legislative session, somebody somebody had a bill to allow for the state I don't believe it actually provided for cloud seeding to take place, but they had one bill where they were trying to allow the state of Montana to do cloud seeding down in the Big Hole Valley of southwest Montana. But at least the last I checked with the DNRC, there's been no effort to move forward on that front. Either way, Mike, great to hear from you. Appreciate your phone call. And speaking of the legislature in Helena, man, there is an explosive video that just got exposed by the Montana Freedom Caucus. So I'll share that video with you here in just a couple of minutes. But first, we've got, is it Genevieve on the phone lines? Genevieve, where are you calling from this morning?
Between Whitehall and Boulder.
All right. Well, good to hear from you.
I just want to applaud that last caller. He's spot on. And actually, Robert F. Kennedy has talked about the chemtrail planes. He has talked about what they're doing. He says health hazard. And he campaigned on that when he was running for president in 2024. And just recently, he's made an announcement. He's so tied up now, his hands full with measles and who knows what all. But he's going to be addressing it. And I thank that caller for bringing that up. But anyway, mainly what I was calling, I just need some truthful answers here. I have a friend in Idaho keeps sending me these messages about things that are going on in Montana. I got to get this straight, and you're the only one I could think of to do it. First of all, she's saying that our senators and representatives are auctioning off our BLM and Forest Service lands, and I thought, they can't do that. She mentioned Matt Rosendale. Matt Rosendale didn't run for re-election. I wish he had.
He's not even in office anymore. Yeah,
and so as a I don't think that's happening. And then she also said that all the grazing permits have been taken away from our ranchers, and it's going to result in half of our ranchers being sold to the ATR. So So what's going on with all of this? Do you know where
so,
this fake news is coming from?
Yeah, so whoever gave you that information, it sounds like they were getting, you know, old information from the Biden administration era. Because, you know, when Joe Biden was president, you had Tracy Stone Manning, this eco-terrorist,
yeah.
Tracy Stone Manning. And she was giving... She was basically giving these special favors and special perks to the American Prairie Reserve, which is this far-left radical environmental outfit trying to kick the ranchers off the land here in Montana, of course. And she was giving them special perks with year-round grazing permits. And so basically it was one more way that they were trying to help push the ranchers off the land and help their elite foreign-funded leftist environmental wackos take over. Totally different ball game now under the Trump administration. Now, what that person may have been referring to is some people have been suggesting that, well, we have such a massive federal debt, so some in Washington have suggested selling some federal lands in order to pay off that debt. But I can tell you Montana Senator Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy have both been clear no's on that front and said, no, we're not going to sacrifice our public land, you know, that many of us want for hunting access, et cetera, for that. So that's I don't think that's going anywhere. So maybe that might have been what the reference is, but it sounded like they had old talking points or old information.
Okay, great. I'll let her know that. I really appreciate it. I thank you for your time and taking my call.
Hey, thank you, Genevieve. Yeah, great to hear from you. Appreciate your phone call. The explosive video out of the Montana legislature. I sent out a couple of tweets earlier this morning, a couple of posts on X. And basically what you have happening here is you have a far-left Democrat state senator out of Bozeman bragging about how she is controlling and the Democrats are controlling a handful of Republicans in both the state Senate and the state House. This is audio that was shared by the Montana Freedom Caucus.
The Democrats and moderate Republicans have a working majority in the Senate right now, and they also have a really productive coalition in the House. Democrats and moderate Republicans are working together to fight back and kill the far-right initiatives. It is really unique in the country right now. We have killed a huge number of judiciary bills. We have killed abortion bills. Democrats and moderate Republicans were able to come together, effectively block expulsion of one of the senators that we've been working with. And so I'm just really proud of us for holding the line on that despite massive pressure.
Yeah, there you go. So, and that was, of course, the editing that was done to emphasize that particular point there. So here you have a Democrat state senator, a far-left Democrat state senator who voted to allow men into girls' locker rooms, bragging about protecting a Republican from expulsion over an ethics case.
Now, don't.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so in that video, that the audio that I just played for you here, that the Freedom Caucus found and exposed, I mean, to me, this is just explosive. This is explosive because if you're one of those nine Republican state senators that's now faced rebuke from the Montana Republican Party over voting with Democrats on, you know, Medicaid expansion or key rules in the Senate or committee assignments, and their response thus far has been, hey, you know, they go back to their constituents and they say, hey, we're sticking it to the party bosses. You know, we're not going to be told what to do by party bosses. But what this far left state senator Cora Newman is saying, because she supports some crazy policies. I mean, she's talking about apparently they have some crazy coalition with their crazy policies coming from crazy Cora Newman here. So now it's like, okay, well, you say you don't answer to the party bosses, but are you apparently you are being controlled by them. That's what Cora Newman is saying. So what do you say to Cora Newman? What do you say to her? Because she's sitting here bragging that she's got you guys under her thumb. But, yeah, I sent out a couple of tweets earlier this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. The Montana Freedom Caucus exposing her videos this week is explosive. How do these 9 state senators feel about her bragging about how she is running you? If you're willing to stand up to the party bosses, what say you to Cora? And then I added this. If Cora's crazy policies are effectively running the state Senate right now, well, I guess we know who to blame for the current demise of property tax relief. She claims that they have this really productive coalition, yet no property tax relief, no income tax relief. What's the progress? We certainly haven't seen it. And tick tock, the clock is ticking. They've only got about 3 weeks to go. Are we going to get significant property tax relief, or is Cora and her crazy coalition going to continue to block progress in the state legislature here? All right, into the phone lines we go. We've got Jolene in Gallatin County next up on the phone lines. Jolene, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I just wanted to get on here really quick and do just a call to action on an important bill that's being blasted. This is Senate Bill 474. It's going to be blasted to the House. This bill would require acceptance of exemptions regarding immunizations. It's crossed the Senate lines. We got it out of committee. They were trying to bury it in an appropriations committee on the House side. Anyway, it's coming to the House floor. So those of your listeners that like medical freedom and don't want our kids to be forced into a product, especially in a daycare situation, it'd be great to call Helena and message the entire House floor, 406-444-4800, with a yes vote for Senate Bill 474.
All right, Jolene, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Earlier we mentioned RFK Jr., and maybe this ties in with that conversation here that Jolene just brought up as well here. But I don't know if you guys have been watching President Trump. This is so cool. He does his cabinet meetings live in full public view with the media in the room. Has his full cabinet assembled. He gets the cabinet meetings. It really is cool to watch. I mean, most transparent administration in American history. And give me another example if you can find one. But RFK Jr., this was really interesting. He said in this cabinet meeting yesterday that they will figure out, as the head of the Department of Health and Human Services, they will figure out what is causing this rise in autism in America, and they're going to find out by September.
We are going at your direction. We are going to know by September. We've launched a massive testing and research effort that's going to involve hundreds of scientists from around the world. By September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic, and we'll be able to eliminate those exposures.
So big. Think of that. So there was 1 in 10,000 children had autism, and now it's 1 in 31. Not 31,000, 31. That's a horrible statistic, isn't it? And there's got to be something artificial out there that's doing this. So you think you're going to have a pretty good idea, huh?
We will know by September.
No, there will be no bigger news conference than that. So that's it. If you can come up with that answer, where you stop taking something. You stopped eating something, or maybe it's a shot, but something's causing it. It can't be from 10,000 to, can you imagine that, Martha? That's a big number. Thank you very much.
All right. Now, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth was there, and he was touting the Trump bump in military recruitment, the huge increase in military recruitment after President Trump's election. He also talked about welcoming back the troops who were punished, discharged for refusing that stupid COVID shot. Remember that?
We're psyched.
This is one of the promises made, promises kept from President Trump. We have followed through at the Defense Department. If you were a person of conscience, a person of faith, who believed that you shouldn't have to take an experimental vaccine in order to serve in our military, we will apologize to you. We will recognize the wrong that's been done. We will welcome you back with rank and back pay, and we want your service. So we started it as quickly as possible. As you can imagine, sometimes these things take a little bit of time to work.
All right, anyway, there you go. That was Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth at the open to the public cabinet meeting yesterday.